Well, welcome back to the Sun City Shadow Hills podcast. I'm your host, Bob Furring, and we're here on a beautiful March day. And I've got a special guest today who was recommended by Cesar Larach. His name is Ben Guitron, and he is the head of the Office of Community Safety of the City of Indio Police Department. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, first, I'd always like to start with a little personal information. How long have you been in the Coachella Valley? And tell us, you know, about
That's easy because I'm very proud of it. I'm a homegrown kid. My family has been established in the eastern Coachella Valley, specifically between Coachella and Indio and Thermal. I come from a farming family. We've been here since 1917. I'm first generation. My family, I was raised up on the family farm between Coachella and Indio. I have a wonderful childhood between Coachella and Indio, and married for 27 years, three adult kids. My wife Norma works for the courts. I'm very proud of my youngest. He's in the United States Air Force serving in Germany right now. So we're a little bit all over the board, and I started as a youth volunteer with the City Police Department after my mother's passing.
What year was that?
That was in 1979. Grew up in the department, have been now with the department full-time, it'll be this September, it'll be 31 years. Have a couple more before I decide to continue living in Indio and continue with my personal commitments. I sit on the board with the Coachella Valley History Museum. I sit on the board with the Volunteers in Medicine, which is a volunteer clinic, between doctors, nurses, and people in the medical field that provide medical aid to those in need in our community. And I'm also a part of the Coachella Valley Community Trust Organization that provides programs for youth in our community. And after-school programs, scholarships. We have a wonderful program that we started last summer called AMP, which is a music program for kids. And we distribute a lot of funding needs through grants, through our schools, nonprofit organizations, everything dealing with youth.
I see.
And I'm a 12-year member of my Indio Rotary Club. So very active with that. And my current role, as you mentioned, is at the City Police Department, is the Chief of Police, created a better dedicated outreach effort and gave me the opportunity to supervise and manage the Office of Community Safety, which is a staff that helps analyze, keep track of the crime trends and resources that we can deal with, addressing crime, regular standing meetings within our department for resources. Along with that is our outreach efforts in the community with the business community, the residents, dealing with a lot of the special events in the community as well. We have an outreach coordinator that maintains and oversees programs that provide for the community and also for the youth of our community. And then we go to the extension of dealing with the crime prevention efforts with our open and gated communities in the city. Obviously, since Shadow Hill, Sun City being one of them, because it's basically a city within a city. And we're very fortunate to have about 9 resort-type environments in our city. And those require, obviously, some commitment because we understand you're operating almost independently based on the resources and amenities that you have within your communities. So it's important for the police department to have that liaison effort. So that's part of that. And then the last of it is our volunteer services that I oversee. We have close to 90 volunteers, the City Police Department, that's broken down into our police chaplains, our Citizens Patrol, otherwise known as CHIP, Citizens Helping Police, which we have a handful of residents from Flint City that are members of that program, and our Police Cadet Program, where we mentor young adults that have an interest in law enforcement, and as a result of that, 14 members of our department come from that program.
By the way, how many police officers are there?
We currently, through Chief Twist's efforts and the efforts of the support of the council and whatnot, we're fortunate to have 70 approved sworn positions. and the chief is currently with staff and at the verge of filling those positions. But, you know, with law enforcement and any other livelihood, it's an ongoing evolving. And but we have a lot of members of the department that are, I would say, at least over 80% that are Indio residents, and their significant others live here, and their children go to school here. We're very proud of that.
Yeah.
Because it shows the commitment. That's why you see on the side of our police cars, our community, our commitment. And that is a true statement. And that's how we feel about it.
Yeah.
It's not just Indio. It's a community that we enjoy, not just working, living here, and whatever affects the community affects our quality of life.
Yeah. So, and this interview is happening at the Santa Rosa Clubhouse. So I take it you have regular meetings here?
Well, we're very fortunate that there's a lot of activities that we proactively started when Pulte first came before the city. Mm. And obviously the Sun City project came in, that our opinion was we need to get ahead of it and be proactive. Proactive by having a liaison, having some dedicated communications, and minimizing the, obviously, the impacts that normally community has with type of public safety issues. Even to the point that obviously the fire department has a fire station right outside of it. That was part of the development and an ambulance service. It's not just the police, it's also the public safety of the fire department and also other resources, but we needed a place. So we started with a lot of programs and activities, presentations to the community, and then it finally eventually did formalize by the Sun City community to have an established volunteer group in the safety committee. Mr. Mike Cohen, who's passed, was one of the founders of dealing with that with Andy Pearl, but that kind of evolved to what we have today, which is regular standing meetings. Mm-hmm. And from our police department is addressing concerns that are public safety related or things that we see that we would give recommendations for the committee to consider. And obviously the committee evaluates it, working with Caesar, your manager, and David Archer, your security director, and going back to your board to, you know, again, in the best interest of safety for your community.
I see. Well, that brings me to what has been a hot topic around here for the last year or so. And that has been the escalation of traffic fines that's been imposed in the community. I interviewed Dave Archer previously, and he said that the genesis of this whole program really started at the Indio police level. So from your perspective, would you please tell our residents how this all came to be?
Well, obviously the development's almost 10 years plus and established, and it's grown, and you're pretty much at the verge of being complete. You're just months away from it just being all the community, and the developer building a very nice community will come to an end, and it'll be all homeowner controlled, which makes a lot of changes for the quality of life of your community. Well, you have residents that express concern that I witnessed coming to the security committee, explain about the speeding issues they were seeing, the lack of respect for the regulatory signs along the streets of within the community. And then we started noticing an increase of traffic-related incidences that we would have to respond, like traffic collisions or drug and alcohol-related offenses that were occurring on private property, all by driving issues, you know, driving-related issues. And so because you are a private gated community, like many communities are like this in California, there's certain regulatory things through the California Vehicle Code and local municipal codes based on jurisdiction that our education enforcement can only go so far. I mean, you are, for instance, required to have a valid driver's license to drive a motor vehicle, public or private. And then we have certain regulations about speeding on public property versus private property. You have rules and regulations, most gated communities do. And most cookie cutter addresses obeying the limits that are posted within that. Obviously, the California Vehicle Code and our municipal code also have rules of the road for the public right-of-ways. So keeping that in mind as our foundation of evaluating concerns, And the concerns that were brought, you know, obviously, well, how many accidents have we been having? You know, so I go to our crime analyst and we evaluate that and go to our traffic team. How many times have we been going to traffic collisions and what were the outcomes? Or were they alcohol related or, you know, inattention issues or what did they do? Speed related type issues or failure to stop type issues. And we found out that between 2008 and 2009, we saw an increase. We saw significant time that was that we had to dedicate because of accidents that occurred that were either alcohol or drug related, or you know they had a health condition issue or speeding issues that were or speed related issues that caused those accidents. So based on the concern, it obviously that was voiced by residents in Sun City and had to be evaluated by your safety committee. You know, I looked into it. And I came back. I said, you know what, you are having a problem. It is increasing within this community. And the board then, or excuse me, the safety committee then, made an evaluation and said, we're going to go on a campaign to educate. And they did. And Andy Pearl can attest to that because at the time, the committee was very fortunate that Andy was very involved in The Sun. And that publication is obviously a really put together publication. I'm fortunate to receive a copy of it. Because we'd like to see what's going on in the community, especially if it's safety related. And so they wrote a lot of articles, a lot of announcements, did a lot of things by sending out mailers and posting and everything to educate the public for a better part of almost 2 to 3 years. And then there was a change in how you managed your security. So Dave Archer's predecessor was brought in and became part of the team. And that's something that obviously your management and your board created a position to have more dedicated oversight, mm-hmm. you know, to manage it better. And I think it's been a big benefit. You know, every community is different, and it's not an unheard practice. Out of the 9 closed resort communities in the city, some of them have dedicated directors that work directly for the organization, or they are contracted and work with the company that you're dealing with securing. Mm-hmm. But they came into it and they were also helping to troubleshoot the issues. And finally it reached a point that they said, you know, the education's been great. We've been doing it for 2 or 3 years, but we still don't see the compliance. And that was obviously at the committee's evaluation. We're listening to it. So then it was decided that they were going to look at the enforcement side of it. And they did. They adopted it, but they researched it. I can only attest to what I witnessed, you know, based on the meetings. They looked at what other communities were doing, and they implemented it. And then it went through an evaluation process again because they still weren't getting compliance. The fines were there, but they felt that the fines needed to be evaluated. Mm-hmm. And they did go through that process. I remember that at that point now, Mr. Ed Chavez is the chair, and he comes with an extended background in law enforcement. He's a retired chief, so he understands. He worked for a municipal agency, so he has the experience. And that's the caliber that's transition on your committee. You have a very good quality group of people with really good backgrounds that can help evaluate, which is good. And it's all at a town city level. It's not, you know, it's where they understand. And so they evaluated, and from what I witnessed, they went out to several communities within the eastern mid part of the valley that have similar challenges, and they evaluated the fines, and they came up with a fine system. Mm-hmm. Now, they did ask, obviously, what the current fine statutes were for the state of California for the public right-of-way, which could be anywhere from $260 on up, depending on your violations. And they use that as an evaluation, mm-hmm. you know, and they could go as high as $400 in some communities, but they use that as an evaluation process. And then they evaluated and they made the recommendations, and from that point, it goes up the chain. You know, mm-hmm. it goes through your general manager, your security director, your committee, before the board, and then they adopted it. I mean, our city goes through that. With our municipal fines, you know, it goes through a process between the agencies that are going to be educating and enforcing to the city manager's office, to the finance director, to finally the council. No different process than what you're at.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of the day, the objective is the safety of the community. And obviously, if you just obey the rules, you're not affected by it. I mean, it's pretty simple. And I know it's tough for people. I mean, yesterday I was driving to Riverside to a function, and I have my vehicle on cruise control, and people are passing me like I'm not stopped. And the highway patrol's out there, you know, because they don't want people to get hurt. And they're either, they've done the education, and they have to do the enforcement. No different whether it be this community or any other community of its size and the way they operate. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do the same thing. But at the end of the day, you need to be a responsible driver and come up with, be responsible and decide, you know what? There's a stop sign I want to stop. There's a posted advised speed, and that's the speed I need to go.
Thank you for bringing that, a complete discussion of that. And what I picked up that I find interesting is what originally brought this to your attention was complaints from homeowners who live here.
Absolutely. And it was interesting to the point that one homeowner, I still remember this, because then that kind of shows the sincere concern, not a blown up concern, where they're actually, I remember that this gentleman who lives, I believe off one of the streets called Sombra, which is kind of designed as an approach off the Monroe Street.
Yeah.
Of course, you have a beautiful boulevard. They're even better than some of the boulevards in the public areas that I've seen. So it's very inviting and very comfortable to, you know, to maybe go a little faster. But what was interesting off that Sombra Street is the backyard of this family's home actually has a good position of the vehicle traffic coming down that street. They actually would take photos. They actually took photos, not to identify the person, but just to show the vehicle and say, this vehicle wasn't going the limit that's, it was going fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bringing the photos to show us, look, we're not making this up. And it wasn't in a negative discussion. It was a candor, very cordial conversation that the committee and the residents there that were concerned could actually digest it, acknowledge it, and come up with what can we do to make it better.
Okay, good. So, well, that's fine. Let's move on. I've got a couple other issues that I want to ask you about.
Sure.
The biggest one being the interchange here that is in the process of being worked on. Would you please give us an update on that?
Well, obviously, the city's partnership with the other agencies that are involved, because it's not just the city of Indio, it's also the city of La Quinta, it's the county, it's CVAG, it's a lot of other agencies. And it's gone through a lot of planning, a lot of education and outreach to get input in the community. And obviously, it's opened up. You can see how the traffic's flowing. From the police department, our interest is just the safety, making sure that people get across and over and under and whatever needs to be for the flow traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that it was well planned, and that plan has been a benefit because we don't see the impacts that we see. Obviously, there's concern when we have the big festivities because we do have a lot. We have the Tamale Festival, the Date Festival, the Indians have the powwow. We have other events and activities. That brings a lot of people into this community, being the largest community in the Coachella Valley and being a center point for all kinds of things. You know, the second seat of the county, all the social and public and private services and all these events. And obviously the upcoming events that we're having in April with our annual Coachella Fest and Stagecoach. But the good thing is it's nothing new. We've been around for over a decade dealing with concerts. So when we have developments or projects that come about, we look at every project, especially when it deals with traffic and pedestrian, how it impacts us during our events.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very proactive. We're very fortunate that Dan Martinez, the city manager, and the staff that he leads with the other staff, because it's not just the police department. You have fire, you have building and safety, you have the planning. The engineers, they have to be concerned. They have responsibility. So everybody's been networking well. As of yesterday, I heard from one of our city officials saying, it looks like we're on track. They're supposed to be done by 2017.
That's great. And so that's a key thing for the people here. Yeah. They're on track, whatever their completion schedule was estimated at, and I don't know what that is, but they are.
And Indio's been very fortunate. A lot of the big projects that we've had lately, like the brand new law building, big facility. It was done ahead of schedule. John Benoit, our county supervisor, because it's a county project, that thing rolled around. It's beautiful. So a lot of the things that are big that impact, and obviously the bridge is a long time coming, even before Pulte was ever considered coming in and building Sun City. That project had already been planned, but this is the third phase of that plan. It actually started down Jefferson all the way by Avenue 54 coming north. And it's gone in three. This is the end of that phase. And with Indio, our growth in our future in this part of the community, because there's other areas of the community that will be road improvements and other things that need to be done, but this is a pretty major interchange. Mm-hmm. And so for the way it's driving, I mean, I drive through it two or three times a week, and I've never been stalled, and you'd be patient. Yeah, there is traffic, but I think you have to also realize that there's a lot of growth that's happened. I mean, there's things that are being developed and done that, you know, that the bridge, when it was built, it was great at that time, and it needed to be improved, and we see why. The bridge is also another access point also for the event that's going on in Indian Wells with the tennis that's coming up. So there's a lot of other things that happen that will impact it. But I think at the end of it, with some patience and continue to work together as the community is working, the end benefit is going to be rewarding. And it's going to be a really nice to be able to just drive over. You already see some of it.
Yes.
If you go to the intersection, it's open, it's well lit. Just that one piece has made an improvement,
mm-hmm.
how the traffic is being diverted. So just imagine when we get to that level, when it's completed. I guess everybody would like to just see it done right away.
Yeah.
But it's a big task. I mean, if you look at it, you can probably park one of the big jet airliners and just park it underneath there, and it's a good hangar
because
it's so big. But when you look at it the way it was planned, the community will be, one, safe and happy it happened.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us. I'm glad to know that you come on a regular basis, so hopefully I'll be able to have you back again in the future. But it's a pleasure, and thank you for enlightening us on some of the issues that we've had here at Shadow Hills.
I really appreciate it. This community is very nice. I don't just say it, you know, like I said, I'm homegrown from the community. I think it's a great, great community. It's a great addition to the city of Indio. You're in Indio, and you should be proud of that, and you should be proud that you have a very nice community. And it's nice to see it finally evolve, to see what the community itself takes it to the next level.
Yeah.
So,
well, I look forward to having you back, and we'll talk more about it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.